Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. With us today are two powerhouse pro-life women, Roxanne Solanin and Ramona Trevino. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Maria.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
It's really a pleasure to have both of you with us today. And let's start out by asking, Roxanne, how did you connect with Ramona?
Well, it might be a story better told by Ramona, since she approached me, her along with Lauren Muzica. I think she kind of knows more of the backstory. So, Ramona, I don't know if you want to share a little bit from your side of how you came to me. You probably know more than I do about that.
Yeah, sure. Like so briefly, we were looking for a writer to tell my story about exiting Planned Parenthood and joining the pro-life movement. And so we were just basically like searching different writers and looking and reading different writers' materials to see who was a good fit. And somehow there was a connection through Lisa Hendy, who pointed us to Roxanne. And I remember just reading one of her blogs, and I just felt an instant connection. And I thought to myself, this is the person I want to write my story. And there was just this beautiful connection there. And so Lauren Muzica, who is the executive director for Sidewalk Advocates for Life, she put together and organized this whole event that would kind of get Roxanne down to Texas. And so we were able to do that, and she was able to, you know, Roxanne was able to interview me, and we just connected immediately. We had so much in common, and just became friends and really best friends ever since.
That's so wonderful. Ramona, what led you to the abortion industry to begin with?
Oh, goodness. How much time do we have? You know, I always tell people, I think really in hindsight, looking back, you know, the enemy, Satan, really likes to capitalize on our pain and our woundedness. And I think there was a lot of pain and wounds that I had from just previously, you know, previous experiences in my life. And I was a teen mom, and I was in a very abusive relationship for many years. And I really thought that I was helping women when I started working for Planned Parenthood. And I thought that I was helping prevent young girls and women from being in similar situations as I was, and from those things that I had experienced. And so because abortions weren't performed under my roof, where I worked, I kind of used that as a way to rationalize and justify my position there. And then, of course, as you can imagine, as time passed, I quickly realized that I was connected to abortion and was complicit in that.
Ramona, what led you out of the abortion industry?
My faith, my Catholic faith, Catholic radio. Everything began with Catholic radio. And then it just kind of ended up being like a six month process of conversion, of just trying to navigate kind of some new truths, you know, that I was hearing through Catholic radio. And then ultimately it was through the prayers and outreach of people from 40 Days for Life. So it was there was a 40 Days for Life vigil, and it was the first and last campaign that was held outside of my facility, because 3 months after I quit, that place closed down. And so, you know, I really give thanks to so many things, so many people who God put in my life to really reach me, so to speak. So I don't really accredit any one thing, you know. It was a lot of things, and I think it just kind of is kind of shows how we all are in this together, you know, for the glory of God.
Roxanne, how did you go about helping to tell Ramona's fascinating story?
Well, as she mentioned earlier, Lauren and Ramona had seen to it to have me fly down to Texas, where it all happened. And so that's really important, as you probably know, as a writer, to get a visual, to get a look at the landscape, you know, to be able to tell that story well. And I think we're still kind of under, we were pretty certain we were going to enter into a relationship, but having me go down there, meet Ramona, spend time with her, interview her, we just discovered so much. I'm a sidewalk advocate also. I have prayed many years at North Dakota's only abortion facility. It's now moved over to Minnesota across the Red River. But I'm very involved in that and write about my experiences on the sidewalk. So between that and just really some personal connections with Ramona, we're both the second of two sisters in our family, and we both just shared a lot of similar experiences even growing up. We're both communicators. Ramona is a beautiful communicator. She just had little kids at the time and needed a little help, so reached out to me, and I just was so blessed. I was passionate about the topic. I had actually heard Ramona, she had done a little testimonial at the time that her the place where she worked, the facility, closed down, and I had actually watched that and was just so impressed with the happenings there, and was aware of her. But to actually meet her in person and hear about her conversion, also how God entered her life and how he, you know, poured the light into her heart as she discovered step by step what was really happening and what Planned Parenthood was all about. It was such a story of grace and illumination from God, and his hand was so clearly in her life from the time she was a little girl. And it was just such an honor to go to the places, retrace her steps, really listen to her heart. And then after I went down and met her, then we just started a regular phone conversation where I would interview her step by step. We would talk through the chapters. I would you know, interview her, get as many details as possible. I would write the chapter, send it back to her. We just kind of worked through it chapter by chapter in that way. And it was a wonderful experience and turned into more, like she said, more not just a business relationship, but also a friendship, which is just God is so good to bring people into our life like that. And we need the support of each other. So it's been a wonderful relationship.
That's tremendous. Roxanne, you are also author of a new book, What Would Monica Do?, which is terrific. I realize that that book deals with religious faith, but I'm wondering if you have any advice for people who have family members who are not pro-life.
You know, so What Would Monica Do? is really a book to help help console, hope, and inspire parents and other loved ones whose children have left the faith in the spirit of St. Monica, who is a saint who prayed for her son, St. Augustine, for 17 years. And at the end of that time, he had a major conversion and has been known throughout all of Christendom. I co-authored that book as well with Patty Armstrong. And we, you know, it really, the pro-life issue is all part of this mass exodus by our children to leave the faith. Because for example, I have several kids who have left the faith at this point. Hopefully they'll come back someday, but right now they're, you know, caught up kind of lies, and at least from my perspective, I will always welcome them home. But I think the biggest thing for parents to know is, number one, to not give up. If their children have left the faith and possibly also have let go of some of the pro-life convictions that they've tried to teach them, for one, we have a really good case. Being pro-life, we have a goodness, truth, and beauty on our side. We have reality on our side as far as the conversation goes. So I think, you know, especially as the holidays are coming up and some of these conversations could come up, sometimes they do at, say, Thanksgiving or Christmas, I think just to be confident in where we're at, that we are on the side of life, which is the side that is good, that is honored by the God of life, and just to take those conversations as they come, to continue loving our children no matter where they're at. They are out in a very difficult world. I think we have to recognize that this world that they've entered is not kind to the Christian faith, not to mention life in general. And so hopefully in time they will come to see the beauty of life and all of that means. But in the meantime, we just love them the best we can. Try not to get into conversations that are going to be antagonistic or lead us down a rabbit hole with them. I think the biggest thing is just to know that we're always their mother. We're always their father. We're always their loving parent who will always bring them home. But we can keep our convictions. We don't have to change anything in that regard. So it can be tricky, but I think I would say enter with confidence. Ask the Holy Spirit to help in those conversations. And we can be confident that we have the truth on our side, so we don't have to be afraid.
Ramona, what advice do you have for pro-lifers who find themselves discouraged?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think we all get discouraged as pro-lifers. I know there was a moment there just in this last decade since coming out of Planned Parenthood that I myself felt a little discouraged. You know, I felt like we were just never going to see, number one, the end of Roe, you know, and then God, you know, blessed us with that surprise. And it's not that I didn't ever believe it would happen. I just didn't know, you know, when it was going to happen. But I think, you know, it's common for us as pro-lifers to feel discouraged. And, you know, as the outreach director, 40 Days for Life, I've been able to be plugged in, you know, a little bit more into the grassroots and kind of take a pulse of the nation and the leaders and the volunteers who are involved, you know, at, you know, ground zero, so to speak. And there is a lot of discouragement. And I think, and it's normal, you know, it's perfectly human, you know, of us to feel that discouragement, especially in states where, you know, abortion is still legal. And, you know, these people are seeing, okay, everyone else, you know, like in Texas, Oklahoma, all these other states where it's been overturned, you know, we're celebrating and we're, you know, giving thanks to God for seeing the end in our state, and they're still seeing it, right? So I think the advice that I would give to those who do feel discouraged is, number one, don't lose hope in Jesus Christ, because he's our hope. And, you know, and I know that this is a spiritual battle. I know that, you know, after coming out of Planned Parenthood, and that became very clear to me that this is a spiritual battle, and that's where we get our strength to continue you know, going forward in this battle, is we get that from, we draw that from Jesus and from, you know, the sacraments and through prayer. And so if there's any advice, you know, that I have for those who feel discouraged, it's to keep doing God's work, keep doing it, you know, persevere in that, and understanding that, you know, God is pleased with what we do when we continue to defend human life. And just one life saved, you know, one heart converted, one mind changed. It's such a huge victory. And I think that we have to just kind of keep focused on, you know, what's above. I think, you know, if we lose sight for just a moment of God, then it is easy to become discouraged.
Ramona, what is 40 Days for Life, and how can people get involved in it?
Yeah, so 40 Days for Life is just a beautiful organization. It's very simple. It's 40 days of prayer and fasting to pray for an end to abortion in front of, you know, abortion facilities, to pray for an end to abortion where you're at. And so it's a organized campaign, so to speak, throughout the country and the world that happens twice a year during the fall and the spring. In which people can volunteer to, you know, really be a presence in front of abortion facilities worldwide, together, you know, in unity with other pro-lifers. So it's a remarkable organization. It's ordained by God, in my opinion. I just, you know, it's just so near and dear to my heart, obviously, because of their role in my own conversion. And so just being able to join the national team at this point has been such a God moment for me. It's been a blessing. People can get involved by visiting the 40 Days for Life website to, you know, review a little more. If they don't know any, you know, much about it, they can go to 40daysforlife.com, read more about the organization, about the campaign, the vigils, the life saved, and then they can look for a location in their city or near their city.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio, recorded by JMJ Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. We are speaking with Roxanne Solonen and Ramona Trevino. Roxanne, how did you come to hold your pro-life beliefs?
You know, know, I grew up at a time that we weren't really having that discussion around the dinner table at all. I knew that some people from my small town that I grew up in had left for a time when they were pregnant and came back unpregnant. And it was kind of this mysterious thing, and I knew that it wasn't good. But when I went to college, I went to kind of more of a liberal college, and I kind of took on the pro-choice mentality, to be honest. I was kind of the mindset that I would never do it, but I couldn't force someone else to do that same thing. But towards the end of college, I started questioning some of those things thanks to my faith group that I was in and traveling with. I went to a retreat, and the topic of abortion came up. And I remember for the first time I heard people out loud saying that abortion is wrong. And it was a very nuanced, good conversation. And it just started making me think, well, I think the real depth of it was when I became a mom myself. I have 5 children, and holding a child and just the wonderment of all of that, it is just an amazing thing. And I think that started helping me open my heart to, my conviction started growing. And then with our 3rd child, we actually lost our baby, Gabriel, in miscarriage. And I think just that reality of, you know, having named him and starting to dream about him and think about him and then to lose him, it was very shattering. And I think it just made me all the more realize that life is precious. It is such a gift. Every human being is a gift. I believe that and hope that I will get to see my son one day. And it just gave me a new zest for life and at all costs. It made me more brave to speak out about pro-life. And then I went on to some March for Life trips with my children who go to a Catholic school, and that just enlivened me even more. And that led me to the sidewalk, where I became a prayer advocate. And, you know, also I think some testimonies from some pro-life women that I've gotten to know here in Fargo that do a panel. They're called the Post-Abortive Ladies and Pals Group. They have really opened my eyes to the harm that abortion has done to women and how deep that goes. And so that finally was the thing that brought it all together, that I realized it isn't just about the baby, but of course that's hugely important, but also about the harm that it does to women.
Absolutely. Roxanne, what advice do you have for people who hope to use social media to advance the pro-life cause?
You know, that's something I do quite a bit. I think, we know that social media can be used for the wrong and also for the good. And one of the things I think I do is just share about my life. And for example, I will go on walks and I'll take pictures of the beauty that I see all around me. And I think that is pro-life. It is recognizing God's beauty, God's creation, God's life. And, you know, on occasion, you know, there might be a moment, especially, well, right after Roe v. Wade was overturned, there were a lot of conversations happening that were kind of tricky. It was kind of a daunting time because it had broken open the conversation in a new way. I think the wisdom that one of my mentors gave me one time is, Roxanne, you don't always have to win the conversation. And I think it's important for us to always be aware that the person on the other side of the computer screen, whoever they are, they're made in the image and likeness of God, and that we don't have to prove ourselves. We really don't. What we have to do is engage lovingly and with charity, and that should be the goal. And I think really, cultivating those relationships and bringing people into a trustful place with us, then we can maybe start having some of the harder conversations. But I think the two things, just sharing the beauty of life in general and being joyful in your posts, and also, you know, to always be aware that the other person is someone that is struggling, that is a human being, and that, you know, we're ultimately wanting to draw them closer to God and to the God of life. And so to just always be aware of the weight of that responsibility and do everything we can to be charitable.
Beautiful. Ramona, do you remember where you were when you found out that Roe versus Wade had been overturned?
Oh, of course. Of course. I was at home, just, you know, with cuddled up with my little 4-year-old daughter. We were, it was a Friday morning. I was getting ready to celebrate my granddaughter's second birthday. So she was turning 2 that day. So her birthday is now forever June 24th. But I just received a random like direct message from one of my Facebook friends. And she said, Roe is overturned, like in all caps and exclamation point, question mark. And I was like, what? You know, because I hadn't turned the news on or anything like that. I hadn't, you know, looked at anything that morning. And I rushed to the television and turned on the news, and there it was. And wow. Yeah. I remember tears. And, you know, thanksgiving and praise to God.
Ramona, what would you say to someone who is wondering if they should become involved or more involved in the pro-life movement?
Simple. Yes, you need to be involved. You need to be more involved in the pro-life movement. You know, I know that we all go through different seasons, and I, as a mom, you know, have gone through my seasons too, where, you know, I am, you know, up to the neck in mother duties, right, and in laundry and dishes and taking care of children and all of that. But, you know, there, I can't stress the importance of us being involved, being able to not just be vocal, but physically involved in the pro-life movement in whatever capacity that we can be, even if it's just a little bit. You know, we it's so important for us to defend the preborn and to defend human life. I mean, we have to remember the sanctity of human life and these little ones who are created in the image and likeness of God. So as people of faith, you know, it is crucial that we do that, you know. And one of the pivotal moments in my personal, you know, conversion was being challenged with the question that I'm going to stand before God at the end of my life, and he's going to ask, you know, did you know about abortion, and what did you do about it? And so that really transformed me and really transformed the way I thought about not just the pro-life issue, but everything in life, you know, being held accountable for everything that I did or did not do, and knowing that these babies are being literally ripped from the womb, and it's impossible at that point to be aware of that and not take action. So I think that's, you know, really where our conviction has to come from, is knowing this is happening and doing something about it and not turning a blind eye to it.
Exactly. Roxanne, where can people connect with you and find your writings?
I do have a website, RoxanneSolonen.com, so that's one way. You can also Google Peace Garden Mama, or Peace Garden Passage, or RoxanneSolonen.com. But on Twitter, I'm at Peace Garden Mama. That kind of came out of a children's book that I wrote years ago, P is for Peace Garden. So I enjoy connecting with people and would be happy to connect with anyone. We also have a Facebook group, just to kind of bring back the What Would Monica Do. It's called Catholic Parents, What Would Monica Do? If anyone has the situation in which their children have left or become disillusioned with the faith or even the pro-life issue, please come and join us, and it's a private group to have a conversation and kind of navigate that together.
That's tremendous. And Ramona, how can people learn more about you and your wonderful work?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I don't have a website, but they can find me on, or if they, you know, want to reach out or, you know, want to email or have questions, they can find me on 40 Days for Life's website. So my email is there at ramona.trevino@40daysforlife.com. I am on social media, but it's more private.
Okay, that's fine. And we've got about 4 minutes left. And, you know, I was struck when the two of you were talking how similar we all are. But we came to this through different paths. And yet, you know, the pro-life movement is just something that brings out the best, I think, in people. And it's just so beautiful. And hearing you both speak, I'm just struck by how this is orchestrated and how we kind of come to life in terms of trying to share life and the goodness of life with other people. And I'm wondering, what do you see ahead for you and for the pro-life movement? Let's start with Roxanne.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy that you have had both Ramona and I on. Even though we haven't been in a working relationship for some time, we are hoping to rejoin hands and work on some projects together in the future. So I think just pushing forward, one of the things that has been so beautiful about Ramona and my relationship is that we've had ongoing conversations. Pro-life is always a part of that, whether it's our family life, which is a dear and more private part of our conversations. But we always, I know that the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know, for sure Ramona and I connected. The day that we found out that baby body parts were being sold, we cried together on the phone. I think being in relationship with people that have like-minded views, just like you were saying there, is so important, because as we know, as we go out into the world, it can be a really hard, cold world, and it can throw us. Even after Roe v. Wade was overturned, there was so much animosity. So I think to just make sure you are have those people in your life that you can journey with, it's just so crucial. And I'm just so grateful for people like Ramona and for you, Maria, for also spreading that good news and being a light to others.
Thank you so much. And Ramona, what lies ahead for you and for the pro-life movement in the minute we have left?
Yeah, so for me, I just recently joined the 40 Days for Life team in June, so what a time to rejoin the movement, of course. And so going forward for me, it's just continuing my work as the outreach director with 40 Days and continuing to promote this beautiful organization and, of course, the pro-life message. I think going forward for the pro-life movement, I think we just continue doing what we're doing and what we've always done. You know, the fight continues, and we can't let up now. So I think for me, it's always doing what God has put in my heart, which is to follow his will, whatever that may be. So wherever that leads me, that's where I'll go.
That is terrific. We have been speaking with Ramona Trevino and Roxanne Solomon, and they collaborated on a wonderful book, and I hope that you'll check that out. And check out 40 Days for Life, because it's saving lives and touching hearts every single day, and it's a tremendous witness. Lifelines Radio is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with more than 40 local, grassroots, county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals, from the very dawn of life to the twilight of life. Thank you for joining us. And remember, there is always a reason to choose life. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.